Okay, this is the hour, the interactive portion of the show. We'll take your phone calls as we talk about Coral Castle. Michael Kohler, our guest, Coral Castle Explained. Your calls are next. Michael, what do you think the significance is of Coral Castle? I mean, it has captured the attention of so many people. What's the significance of it?
I think the main significance to the Coral Castle is how contemporary it is. For instance, you can go back in time. You can see the pyramids being built. Well, not see, but you know, the pyramids were built thousands of years ago. And you can speculate that thousands of slaves helped move these blocks over 10, 20, 30 years. And you can speculate all you want. With Ed, there's only Ed. And he did this by himself. There are no witnesses. No one saw him do it. No one knows how he did it. And given the time frame that he was able to complete this in, and given his limited resources with no access to modern machinery, and also having a lower education, it's a miracle that it actually exists. So that's really, those points are really why it makes it so amazing to people. It's not normal for such a structure to exist, or for a man or a woman, anybody, to have that type of knowledge in today's world.
Well, and the fact that he took this information to his death side, I think that's got people wondering too, don't you?
Yes, and it had me wondering as well. That's why in my book, I talk about how I think it's a puzzle. I think he left behind clue after clue after clue as to what he did, how he did it, the steps that he took, and he left it in the form of symbolism. He left it in the form of the mathematics, as I mentioned before, about Phi and the Fibonacci sequence built into the castle. He has astronomical alignments with the Polaris telescope and the sundial. He left clues behind to help us figure out what he did, but he wasn't going to tell us. So I think that that's his legacy. That's what he left behind.
He was going to make us work for it, wasn't he?
He's going to make us work for it, and I'm kind of tired. I haven't figured it out yet.
You've been doing it for a long time.
Yeah.
Long time. And are there any other places? I mean, is Homestead where Coral Castle is it like on a ley line?
You know, I've seen maps. There are ley lines very close. And if you go with the ley line theory, it makes sense that he moved from Florida City up to Homestead because it's closer to a ley line. I'm not sure what part that played. I think that Ed created, for lack of a better word, his own ley line. When he created this castle, it resonates at a particular frequency because of how it's built. I did research into what's called cymantics, and cymantics is a science created by Hans Jenny, and it talks about how frequencies can create geometric patterns. So you would put the frequencies into a metal plate, and you would put sand on top of the plate, and as you turned the frequencies up, once you went up to the next octave, a more complex geometric figure would appear. So when Ed built this with the Fibonacci sequence in mind, and Phi being the basis for how all things are grown, I believe he tapped into the natural earth energy of the globe by building this complex. So if you go there, if you can't feel energy, you'll at least feel very comfortable there, very happy there, because it's at a very resonant tone of calmness, of balance, of peace. And if you can feel energy, it's overwhelming. It's a very powerful place to go.
Okay, to the phones we go, east of the Rockies, Jake in Shelbyville, Kentucky. Hi, Jake. Thanks for calling.
Hello. I have a question about the Edward the Scallion book that he wrote.
The little one on magnetics? Yeah.
Well, you know, has anybody ever done any sort of, like, skip matrix or, like, Bible code type of analysis on that. Maybe there's some mystery or something inside there.
And it's a very small, Michael, thin book, as you know. It's not very big at all.
We're talking about the magnetic current one?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's very small. Hi, Jack. How are you?
Good, good.
Yeah, it's a very short book. It goes into detail about his thoughts on magnetic currents and coils and batteries. I don't think anyone has done a Bible code type of study on it, but that's very interesting. I'll actually look into that now that you've mentioned it.
Michael, do you know if any scientists have been down there checking things out?
Any what?
Scientists have been down there?
You know, I wish they would. I'm not aware of any. I know there's a lot of weddings, tourists, but as far as anyone taking it seriously, like Göbekli Tepe, there's lots of scientists flying over to Turkey to uncover everything. And that's a major archaeological find, which is taken very seriously. Coral Castle is a sideshow. I mean, you pick up pamphlets at the airport, at the hotel, you go see it, you leave. It's not taken seriously by the scientific community. And I really, especially with everything that I've done on this, I honestly can't understand why it's not taken seriously.
And it's right here in our backyard.
Yeah, there's no need to go overseas. It's right here. And you can, many people can just drive to it. And it's contemporary. It's not 10,000 years ago. It's now. And a man figured out how to do this less than 100 years ago. So why aren't we trying to figure out how it was done? It doesn't make any sense.
We go to New Delhi in India. We are truly worldwide. Hello, Robert. Go ahead.
Good show. And yeah, I'm out here in New Delhi. I want to just say thank you for having this interesting guest on. And
you're welcome, Robert.
Continually top-notch work you do, George Norrie. Nobody can top you in any show I've heard to date. I want to just express the appreciation. I'd like to guess to clarify again. I mean, you look on the internet, a lot of the there's just a bunch of information. There's scientists on there that have also documented what they think. A lot of it has to do with three-phase induction, alternating current type motors, some hybrid with DC together with plates under the crystal to use to levitate them at a certain resonant frequency. And based on exciting the crystalline structure to reduce the weight on those, and through a pulley system, he was able to lift them. So I haven't read that he got zero gravity, but he reduced the weight substantially. But can you clarify again, based on all this research that you've done, what is your opinion again? Because I think the audience wants to understand what is your final conclusion on how he did it. There's no calculators back then to do Fibonacci sequencing and complex mathematics. So I think it's something very simple.
Yeah.
Everybody's making it like it's so complex. Thank you again. I'll take the answer off the air. God bless everybody.
Thank you, Robert. You'll be safe out there in India. Go ahead, Michael. Let's review again.
Great question, Robert. David Wilcock once brought up that he believes that matter is sitting at a frequency that if you moved it up just a little bit, it would actually make the mass diminish. You could actually mold the coral, the blocks that were being used, because all it takes is a little bit of a push and moving it up to a higher frequency. So going into what he was saying about the different frequencies, resonant frequencies, the crystal structure, I think he was referring to the crystal that was found under the 9-ton gate and how that was supposed to help it spin and turn. I agree. I agree that there is a frequency change in the stones, and that causes them to get lighter. And that's how he was able to do this. But reaching that frequency, he did it one way at the Florida City site. And at the Homestead site, he was working with counter-rotating fields. He was trying to induce this through electromagnetism to get the same effect. And so, yes, I agree that that's what's happening. The mass is changing, and it's becoming lighter, which allows him to move things that he should not have been able to do.
Let's go to Rich in Voorhees, New Jersey, first-time caller. Rich, you're on with Michael Kohler. Go ahead.
Morning, gentlemen. Thank you for taking my call.
You're welcome, Rich.
Hi, Rich.
Michael, we know that the Earth and the Moon do a dance with each other, and the effect of the Moon on the Earth is seen on the opposite side from where the Moon is by the tide's reaction to it. Is it possible that the side that then is close to the Moon has this as a significant effect on the material that makes it lighter on the side that's facing the Moon, and somehow it exploited that particular relationship between the surface of the Earth and the surface of the Moon in a electromagnetic reaction to the proximity of the Moon to the Earth? What's your thought about that?
Well, that's a great question, Rich. Actually, in my last update, I addressed the Moon issue. At the original complex, he has the crescent of the east, and he also has a moon fountain, which is actually not representative of the full moon, as it says in the pamphlets, but the new moon. You can't have crescent moons like that on a full moon. It can only be on a new moon. And so during this seven-day period where the waning crescent moon went into a new and then came back out as a waxing crescent moon, that was the time when Ed was able to do most of his work because, as you were saying, there was an electromagnetic change, a frequency change at that time, which allowed him to cause the blocks of coral to be lighter, and then he could move them effortlessly, if I could say it, effortlessly. So very, very good question.
Well, thank you for taking it. And George, happy birthday, if anybody hasn't expressed it to you tonight.
Thank you, Rich.
Many more to come, and thank you for being so gracious and wonderful on the show.
You are very welcome indeed. People love this topic, Michael. They really do. Anyway, where can we get your book, Coral Castle Explained?
Well, it's available in two formats. I'm trying to get it into a physical copy right now. I'm having a little bit of a problem with that, but that should be okay next week. Right now it's available as a PDF download from my website, coralcastleexplained.com. And it's also available on Amazon.com as a Kindle download.
All right, great. Jack from Mankato, Minnesota. It's Jack. Hey, Jack.
Hey, George. It's One Eye Jack. How are you?
Yeah.
What a fabulous subject.
Sure.
Back in the days when I could see, back in 86, my wife and I visited Florida. And from being from Minnesota, of course, it was in the winter, which is wonderful. We not only went to Coral Cable, we went to Vizcaya, which was also the John Deere home. And they had marble that was brought in from Italy, but they had equipment and machinery to do so. And when I got to Coral Cable and I find out it was a little guy, because we went through the tour, and then they let us walk around, I remember the gate, and it strikes me that the gate is like 9 or 10 tons. And you could literally open it with a push of one finger, George.
Jeez. I love that. One finger.
Incredible. And the question I have, and this is the whole thing, is listening to this. If you've never been there, it is worth the time to go see it because it is remarkable. I sat in a bench underneath the crescent moon, and the whole thing is just phenomenal. Why didn't he pass this knowledge on? Because he must have had the same knowledge that was used to build the pyramids all over the world.
And he said he did.
Why didn't he pass it on? I mean, that's something that's beyond comprehension.
Well, that's a good question. Michael, why do you think, thank you, by the way, Jack, why do you think he took this to the grave?
Thanks, Jack. That's a very good question. I think I mentioned before the movie The Prestige, and the trick that Ed had was to move these stones. And I think he was caught off guard, honestly. I think he was putting the Coral Castle up as a puzzle, leaving that as his legacy for people to figure out what he did, work for it. You know, I had to figure it out, you have to figure it out, type of thing. But the electromagnetism, when he was caught off guard by symptoms, the kidney disease, he was feeling more ill, He then went to the hospital and died. I don't think he was, I don't think he saw that coming. And so if he was going to share it with people, he was cut short. And so that's why we're where we are today, wondering what happened. How did he do it? Why didn't he tell anyone?
Let's go to Ted in Stanley, North Dakota, first-time caller. Ted, welcome to the program.
Hey, thanks for having me on there, George.
Okay, you're welcome.
I have a question. I was just wondering if I read something about this probably a long while back here, Ed Lee Skelman was kicked off of his original place by the United States Air Force because they were extending their base to cover a ley line confluence point over which he built his Squirrel Castle. And I wonder if maybe that possibly also had something to do with him changing his method to the counter-rotating fields from the original place, because he did get removed from that nexus point, you know, like similar to the nexus point of the ley lines near Duluth, Minnesota, where the Air Force also put a base on top of that. And I just wonder if you had any thoughts on that.
Well, that's thank you, Ted. I'd never heard that before. I don't think he was kicked off, as far as I know. I've never seen any documentation on that. But as far as your second part, that's very interesting, that if the power, the energy in that area was stronger, then maybe he tried electromagnetism because he felt that he didn't have as much energy as he did before. What led him in that direction, I don't know. I've always personally thought that he was trying to help other people do what he did, and that's why he tried to create counter-rotating fields of energy so they could do the same thing. But that's a very good theory. If the energy's lower, he would try to amp it, and that would definitely be one way to do it.
Well, it sure would. Michael, we're going to take this quick break. We're going to come back in a moment here on Coast to Coast AM and take final phone calls with you. We're talking with Michael Kohler. His book, Coral Castle Explained, and his website is one of the same, coralcastleexplained.com, which we have linked up for you at coasttocoastam.com. And also, follow us on Facebook and Twitter, if you would. I need 1,500 people to follow us on Facebook right now. I want to hit a certain plateau, and so I need you to do that. So go to coasttocoastam.com. Up in the right-hand corner, you'll see the Facebook icon. Click that, fill it out, and I'll watch these numbers grow. Oh, that's fast. I just need 1,300 now Facebook followers tonight. Just go ahead and do it right up there at coasttocoastam.com. Follow us on Twitter, too, if you would. On our next Coast to Coast program, of course, it's Friday night, and that means those special open lines. Let's come right back, though. Those of you who have been on hold for a while, I'll get right to you as we talk about Coral Castle Explained on Coast to Coast AM. Michael, that the tall tripod-looking device that was outside, not the wheel, but the tripod device, what do you think that was?
The tripod device? You mean the tripods that he used as...
whatever he used it for.
Well, the tripods were supposed to be used to pull the coral out of the quarries that he had outside. So all of the walls that you see around the Coral Castle today were the result of pulling the coral out of these quarries. There's only one available, visible today. They covered the rest up. So the tripods were supposed to be for that purpose, to pull the coral up so that he could maneuver it into place. The problem I have with the tripods is they themselves are going to weigh a couple tons apiece, and exactly how he was supposed to maneuver those so that he could then maneuver the coral, it would just seem easier to move the coral blocks without the tripods instead of creating these huge apparatuses for seemingly a very meaningless purpose.
No doubt. Let's go to the phones now. Diana, Virginia Beach, Virginia. Welcome to the program. Hi, Diana.
Hi. How are you, George?
Okay.
Happy belated birthday.
Well, thank you so much.
And so glad to have Michael Kohler on there. I am so glad.
He knows his stuff.
I tell you, Coral Castle is an amazing place. And I keep telling my coworkers and my friends, whoever goes to Florida, if you've never been, you need to go. Once in your life, you really need to go. I was born in Miami. I am actually 56 years old. I've been there 5 times. And I do remember when it was in Florida City. It was a lot larger. And I believe there were some missing items that aren't there now, as into where it is now in Homestead. But I would love, I have some 35 millimeter film of me actually in the park. But I remember pushing that big door. I could not believe your previous caller, a gentleman,
with
talked
a finger.
About it.
Yep.
And how heavy it looked and is. And it just pivots. All you have to do, and me as a young girl, putting my palm and my hand on it and pushing forward, it pivoted as to where I could walk past it and into the next room. But there was also rocking chairs, I mean, like silver recliners that would pivot. You could sit in it and walk back and forth in a very gentle motion. And to me, it was the most relaxing place, the most, I don't know how to really put it, where I would just think and wonder and wonder in amazement how Ed ever did this. But I'm so glad I got to hear this program tonight.
Well, thank you for that. The rocking chairs you're talking about, they're actually around the Florida table. And
oh, really?
Ed used to run around and get them all rocking. They weigh about half a ton apiece. And by the time he got all the way around the table, they were all rocking at the same time. It was part of his
My father that- and my grandfather would take me, and we would all do it. And I was just like amazement. And I, you know, I kind of looked like Shirley Temple when I was younger. And they have pictures of me. I was actually in the bathtub. Do you remember the bathtub?
Oh, yes. Yeah.
I was in there acting like I was taking a bath. And the crescent moon, I'm actually sitting on it in one of the videos, or the little 35 millimeter film.
Oh, that's neat. Yeah, they don't allow that anymore. But, yeah, a lot of people.
I know. And the sundial was gorgeous. But I just want to. I just want to call in and appreciate it and share my stories of my childhood.
That's a great story, and remember that forever.
Wonderful. And there's so many wonderful things on this planet that we might not have knowledge to right now, but I think we're gaining access to them.
Okay. I appreciate that. I want you to explain again, Michael, the mathematics of Phi.
Well, Phi was created by a guy by the name of Fibonacci. The Fibonacci sequence was created by Fibonacci. And you take a 0 and a 1, and you add that together, and you get the number 1. Then you take the 1 and 1, you add that together, you get a 2. So each subsequent set of numbers, you add them together to get the next one after that. So with Phi, what you do to get the golden ratio, the 1.618, you take the larger number and divide it by the one behind it. And as you go out toward infinity, you get closer to a perfect 1.618. And this number repeats in nature. There are a couple of videos that I actually put up on my Facebook page that are just absolutely amazing, showing how Phi is incorporated into plants, seashells, stuff you can get at the store today in the vegetable department. It's always the same, and it's this energy that creates this consistency in nature that Ed tapped into in order to move all of the coral blocks that we see today as the coral castle.
Are you baffled by the structure, Michael?
I am baffled. What's missing is that missing piece is the morphogenic code that I mentioned. The morphic code, the tone, the feeling for whatever it is that you have to tune into to move it, that's the baffling part. How did he come about that? How did he figure that out? I mean, I can understand centering yourself, having a balanced state of mind, but we're talking about literal magic there. And if it is possible, if you can conceive that it's possible, no other place on the planet other than the Coral Castle will make you believe that.
Well, that's so true. It's John driving in West Virginia on the Wildcard Line. John, go ahead.
Hey, George.
Hey, John.
Hey, Michael.
Thank you.
Hey, how's it going, George?
Thank you for having me on.
I got an interesting question, and I'm going to pull off the side of the road here so I can have a clearer, better connection with
sure.
you. How did Ed go about cutting these blocks and have the foresight, or sort of like the eye on the top of the pyramid that's on our dollar, be able to see exactly the dimensions of the needed piece of block that weighed so many tons, and be able to move it, and it would fit perfectly in there just like it did in the pyramids? Does this levitation or this mathematics or this power give you the eye to see where, you know, you don't have to go in there with tools? How does it cut the block so clean and clear it all the way around, all circumferences, even the bottom, and allow it to be able to come up and out? You know, that is probably the single most thing that has really baffled me more than anything out of all of this so-called science and stuff. Yeah, it's interesting trying to figure out how did they lift it up and how did they move it from A to B. But this is the other aspect of it that really drives me nutty, trying to figure out how did they do that. And, you know, there has to be something about the eye that sees that nothing else can see, and knows without not knowing that it's going to fit. And if you could have got some simple explanation or some rhyme or reason to give an answer for that, I would really greatly hear it.
Well, sure. Very good question. The best example of what you're talking about is the 9-ton gate. I mean, it's 80 inches wide, 92 inches tall by 21 inches across. It weighs 18,000 pounds, yet it fits within a quarter inch of the walls on both sides of it. How he was able to maneuver it into that position and then balance it so perfectly that you could touch it with your hand and it would spin in a 360. How did he know how to do that? So that goes back to my theory in regard to Phi. Phi is about balance. It's about harmony. And so if you are in a resonant frequency of balance and harmony, then you would feel the imbalance. And that's how he would be able to tell how to fit things perfectly together. And in regard to how did he cut it, when you read the pamphlets, it talks about especially the Florida City pieces. They seem to be molded. There are no chisel marks at all on those pieces of coral.
Could lasers have cut those out?
Lasers. It's a possibility. I don't know what the effect of lasers would be on coral, and there's two different types. So there's the porous coral at Homestead,
right,
and the layered coral at Florida City. But what the laser would do, it would probably cut it clean, especially the ones in Homestead.
Yeah.
But I don't think he had technology, George. I think he used something.
Just a simple person, wasn't he?
Simple person with simple perceptions that had access to something inconceivable.
Next up, we go west of the Rockies. Tom is in Phoenix, Arizona, one of our favorite spots. Hey, Tommy, go ahead.
Hi, hello. I've read about things about the Coral Castle for years, and I just thought I'd ask just a couple things I've read about, see if you've heard of them also.
Okay.
All right.
Okay. I read years ago that it was on a similar latitude line to the Egyptian pyramids. Have you heard of that? Is that
The latitude of Florida City and Homestead, that's about 20 degrees latitude, and the Great Pyramid of Giza is at 30 degrees latitude.
Oh, okay. So there's a fair amount of difference there.
Yes.
Or as Richard would say, 19.5.
Yeah, okay.
That's Hawaii, George.
Yeah.
And you occasionally, I don't know if you found, how you found this, could find this out, but I've also heard that he was at one point visited by some men from one of our three-letter agencies who made it very clear that he was not to discuss what he's doing. Do you know anything about that?
I've actually never heard that with Ed. I've heard that with Tesla before, but I've never heard that rumor with Edward Leach Skelton. No.
Okay. And in researching his history, any connection at all with any of our common secret societies like Rosicrucians or Freemasons or anything like that? Any no connection there at all that you might have heard of?
No, the only connection you could possibly make would be with the star, the six-pointed star that he uses. But he states clearly in the book that it's about nature. It's a form found in nature. So I don't think he had any connections with the secret societies.
Okay. By the way, just real quick, I'll say that there's a young boy in 17th grade who was using the Fibonacci sequence to study the best way to present solar cells to get the most power out of them, and I think he's actually got a design patent, and he based it on the Fibonacci sequence. So I guess the way plants grow, the various branches, when they appear, follows the Fibonacci sequence. He studied that and was able to make a more efficient solar cell presentation to the sun, so it's real stuff.
Yeah, it is real. He actually was able to get more energy from the same surface area of solar cells by placing them in the same positioning that it would be on a branch with leaves. And so by using the Fibonacci sequence, he was actually able to increase the power that the solar cells were able to produce. It was amazing.
Let's take a couple more calls. Marilyn is in Thomasville, North Carolina, east of the Rockies. Hi, Marilyn.
Thank you for taking me on your show. I have tried so many times with Art Bell, and that's the first time I've ever got through.
Well, there you go.
And I've adopted you as my other son. He's 6 months older than you. And I listen
Thanks,
to
Mom.
You all the time, and I love you dearly, and happy birthday.
Well, thank you so much.
Now, I'm a Floridian originally. I was raised there in the 30s, the 40s, the 50s, and the 60s. And I moved to North Carolina. And I never heard of that castle while I was right there in Fort Lauderdale. And when did he start building it?
He started building the one in Florida City in the early 1900s. The one in Homestead, he built that between 1937 and 1940.
And I was right there, and I could have watched him. I didn't know that he had two of them. And that's where I was wondering with the coral. You have to get the coral from the sea. And where is this in conjunction with the sea, with the Atlantic?
Well, the current location of the one in Homestead is actually near the Homestead Air Force Base. So it's actually very close to the ocean, but the coral actually comes out of the ground. And so he didn't have to travel anywhere to get it. He just took it right off.
Come out of the ground.
Yeah.
How about that? Boy, I'll tell you, you know, when you live in a place, you never see all the sights.
No, you got to come in from the outside.
Yeah, that's right. And I have listened to this coral castle, but I didn't know it was you were speaking of two of them. I've got to go back down there and see them. I've still got a sister-in-law down there. And I am so tickled to get through, George.
Well, you're welcome, and Mom. By the way, Mom, you're not sending me my allowance these days. What's wrong?
Yeah, well, Mom's broke. Mom's on Social Security.
Well, maybe I'll have to support you, Mom. What the heck?
Oh, that would be nice. I don't have a computer. I have a computer, but I can't afford the internet.
All right,
I
Mira.
Sure wish I could.
I'm glad you got through. So many people still on hold here, Michael. If they need information, if they need to email you, what do they do?
You can email me at michael@coralcastleexplained.com.
Simple as that. And the book, Coral Castle Explained, where do you get it?
You can get it from my website, which is coralcastleexplained.com. You can also get a Kindle edition on amazon.com.
What's next for you, Michael?
Well, I just got done with my update, and so I'm going to start building on my Facebook page, add a couple more videos. It's been a fun ride the last month and a half.
Okay, well, thanks for spending the night with us, Michael. I appreciate it.
Thank you, George.
Michael Kohler, Coral Castle Explained. That's a story that just always just baffles me with its wonderment. It's truly remarkable. 120-pound guy moving tons of blocks. Unbelievable. Dan Galante, Will Wilkerson, Tom Danheiser, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean Lottasour, Stephanie Smith, Chris Boros, George Knapp, John B. Wells, Ian Punnett, and Art Bell. I'm George Norrie, somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM. I'll see you on our next edition. Until then, be safe, everybody.